918 in the Red Church Bible, the Book of Amos and Chapter 4. Amos in chapter 4 on page 918. Hear this word, you cows of Bashan on Mount Samaria, you women who oppress the poor and crush the needy and say to your husbands, bring us some drinks. The Sovereign Lord has sworn by his holiness, the time will surely come when you will be taken away with hooks, the last of you with fish hooks. You will each go straight out through breaks in the wall, and you will cast out towards Harmon, declares the Lord. Go to Bethel and sin, go to Gilgal and sin yet more. Bring your sacrifices every morning, your tithes every 3 years. Burn leavened bread as a thank offering, and brag about your freewill offerings. Boast about them, you Israelites, for this is what you love to do, declares the Sovereign Lord. I gave you empty stomachs in every city and lack of bread in every town, yet you have not returned to me, declares the Lord. I also withheld rain from you when the harvest was still 3 months away. I sent rain on one town and withheld it from another. One field had rain, another had none and dried up. People stagger from town to town for water but did not get enough to drink. Yet you have not returned to me, declares the Lord. Many times I struck your gardens and vineyards. I struck them with blight and mildew. Locusts devoured your fig and olive trees. Yet you have not returned to me, declares the Lord. I sent plagues among you as I did to Egypt. I killed your young men with a sword along with your captured horses. I filled your nostrils with the stench of your camps. Yet you have not returned to me, declares the Lord. I overthrew some of you as I overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. You were like a burning stick snatched from the fire, yet you have not returned to me, declares the Lord. Therefore this is what I will do to you, Israel, and because I will do this, prepare to meet your God, O Israel. He who forms the mountains, creates the wind, and reveals his thoughts to man. He who turns dawn to darkness and treads the high places of the earth. The Lord God Almighty is his name. So reads that portion of the Word of God. Now would the boys and girls like to come out here, please. God, this morning to the Book of Amos and Chapter 4. The Book of Amos and Chapter 4. Where the disobedient people of God are told in the 12th verse, on page 919, not an easy book to find in the Bible, Amos. Therefore, this is what I will do to you, Israel, and because I will do this to you, in other words, God will judge them, prepare to meet your God, O Israel. Now we have boys and girls here this morning, and boys and girls know what it is, and young people, to prepare for exams. And you go over what you've been taught, and you learn, and you remember, and hope that it all comes back to you for your examinations. We have gardeners in our fellowship this morning, and you know gardeners only too well how important it is to prepare the ground and continue to prepare it for sowing seed. There are people in our fellowship this morning who've known what it is in recent days to decorate a new home. And before you put the wallpaper on and before you paint, there is preparation work to be done. Ladies, many of you have known what it is to prepare a meal for today. And you've known what it is, perhaps with the help of your husbands, to peel the potatoes and to prepare the meal. But what we have here in this statement this morning is the most important preparation work of all. For the great God of heaven had brought judgments on Israel in order that they might turn to him, in order that they might repent. They needed to change their mind, and they needed to turn from their wrongdoing. And God brings time and time again a complaint to them. He says in verse 6 of this chapter, I gave you empty stomachs in every city and lack of bread in every town. And this is what he says, yet you have not returned to me, declares the Lord. In verse 8, people staggered from town to town for water, but did not get enough to drink. Yet you have not returned to me, declares the Lord. In verse 10, I sent plagues among you, as I did to Egypt. I killed your young men with the sword along with your captured horses. I filled your nostrils with the stench of your camps. Yet you have not returned to me, declares the Lord. And the same in verse 11, and the same complaint in verse 11, yet you have not returned to me, declares the Lord. There needed to be a change. There needed to be a turning. There needed to be a preparation in order to meet with God. But we live in a gospel day. We live in an amazing and a wonderful and a glorious day. And when you come to the gospel day, you discover that all the preparation to meet with the great God of heaven has already been done in the glorious person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Imagine tomorrow morning, a letter came through your door, and it is from Buckingham Palace. And you open the letter with great excitement. You've not had a letter from Buckingham Palace. And you've been invited to meet the Queen at one of her dinner parties. And you're given a particular date. And the lady of the house says, whatever am I going to wear? That's always the first thing that they ask. Whatever am I going to wear? And the husband thinks to himself, oh no, it means I've got to have a new suit to meet the Queen at Buckingham Palace. But the following day, a parcel arrives and you get a knock on the door and you open the door and again there's the mark of Buckingham Palace. And you open up the package and there is a ready-made suit for the man to meet with the Queen. And you open up the package and there is the clothing, the acceptable clothing for the wife to meet with the Queen. For there has not only been an invitation, but there has been the clothing in order that you might meet with the Queen properly dressed and in order that you might be acceptable in that garden party. And the great God of heaven has done all the preparations for men and women and boys and girls to meet with him. It wouldn't really cost the Queen a great deal to buy a suit. It wouldn't really cost the Queen a great deal to buy a new dress for the wife. But the great God of heaven has provided us with the right clothing in order that we might meet with him, in order that we might be properly dressed in the presence of the one who is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The great God of heaven has left nothing out because God loves us, because God so loved the world. But it's not a love that is a sloppy or sentimental love that does everything we want. His love was a tough and it was a costly love. It meant the great God of heaven sent the most valuable person that he had, his one and only son, his unique son, his glorious son, his amazing son, from sinless perfection to a sin-soaked earth. This last week there's been the great celebration on the 50th anniversary of the moon landing. And of course we think of the control tower in the day, and as BAM first landed on the moon, the great cheers that went up. What a great mission. But the greatest mission of all, the most glorious and amazing mission of all, was when the Lord Jesus came from the Holy of Holies, from eternity itself, into this dark world, and set his foot not on the moon, but set his foot upon this world, under the plan and purpose of God, in order to seek and to save that which was lost. We think of the Dam Busters mission in the last war, and as these brave men went out in order to bring about this amazing destruction of this dam with this bouncing bomb, there was no guarantee of success. And that Dam Busters mission was accomplished at a great loss of life. But when the Lord Jesus came, the whole mission was under the control of the living God. There was nothing that was uncertain. There was nothing that was left to chance. The whole plan was conceived by the Creator with absolute perfection. Nothing was left to chance. And when the Lord Jesus came into this world, he knew why he came. And he knew what would happen. He knew what would happen. He told his disciples about what would happen. Because he knew that sin was a big problem to God. And he knew that sin and God were two opposites. And the only way by which this great problem could be dealt with, the Lord Jesus knew, was in the sacrifice of himself. He knew that in Amos' days there were sacrifices, there were animal sacrifices that were all pointing toward that great final sacrifice of the Lord Jesus. In Amos' day they made sacrifices. And they had to make continual sacrifices. And the priest would place his hand upon the sacrifice. But in the gospel day that was to come, God made the supreme, unique, ultimate, and glorious sacrifice for sin. We think of the Old Bailey in London and the scales of justice on the top of the Old Bailey, that the punishment must fit the crime. And the Lord Jesus stood on the scale. He stood in the dock, and sentence was passed out on him. He took our place. He was our substitute, in order that men and women and boys and girls may go free. He rose too as a guarantee that every true Christian one day will rise from the grave. And when a person becomes a Christian, they are given eternal life as a present possession, and they shall never perish. Jesus said it himself, "I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." And every person here this morning who is a true believer is the possessor of the most wonderful and the most glorious thing of all, eternal life. And then also he gives us his Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit enables us to live. A person who is a Christian lives a life in the Spirit. They don't need rules and regulations. But they live a life in the Spirit. And they long that the fruit of the Spirit may be shown in their lives. On Tuesday evening there is a meal available for ladies at John and Wendy's. I must confess this, I do enjoy Wendy's apple pies. Lovely. They are absolutely delicious. You won't get better pastry than Wendy's apple pies. I remember them from the church meals here. And imagine the ladies going along to the meal on Tuesday evening, and they go in and there's a lovely smile, and they look at the meal and they say to Wendy, "You put on a lovely spread here." "I'm sure she will. I'm sure she will." And they just sit round and they admire it. But they never eat it. They never take hold of it. They never have a delicious piece of apple pie and put it to their mouths. That would be sad, wouldn't it? And is it not true that here in Providence, there are people perhaps who've come to this place, who've listened to God's word over many years, and perhaps they've even appreciated the wonder of this most amazing and glorious gospel, and yet they've never taken hold of this amazing gospel for themselves. And they've never known what it is to wholly trust in God's glorious provision for men and women to be prepared to meet with God. That they've never known what it is to lay hold by faith on the glorious person and the saving work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It may be there are boys and girls and young people here this morning, and they've heard about all this in the home, and they've listened to it, and they've listened to the Bible read, and they've listened to the prayers being uttered, and they've come, as it were, to the family altar where the word of God is open every day. But they've never trusted. They've never been saved by grace. They've never received God's amazing preparation for men and women and all ages to meet with Him. And I'm sure on Tuesday night for the ladies there'll be no charge for the meal. But for this glorious preparation, there's no cost to us apart from a life of daily self-denial out of love for the Lord Jesus. But there's every cost to Him. And then the tragedy is, friends, that in this world, and I have to say it is a tragedy, there are many people who are making the wrong kind of preparation. It's true, isn't it? They think that they can meet with God by religious observance, by keeping certain rules, by keeping to the law, by keeping to religious observances, being saved by what we do. There were many people, tragically, who say, "Well, at the end of the day, God knows that I've done my best." And God says, "Sorry, but your best is not good enough for me. Because my best is the Lord Jesus. And that is the standard that I expect, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I look at Him, and when you look at Him, we realize that we are bankrupts. We are totally bankrupts." When the Lord Jesus died on Calvary, what a terrible thing that was. But He died, you know, I'm sure you will remember, between two thieves. Between two thieves. And we are told in Luke's Gospel, one of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at Him. "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise." Now, the dying thief had nothing to offer Christ. Nothing whatsoever. And yet he was accepted. And one day that dying thief will be seen in heaven's glory. And to meet with the wrong clothing will be a tragedy. To meet on that day not properly dressed, for meeting with God will be an absolute tragedy for men and women. And there will be a no entry sign. Wrong suit, wrong clothing, there will be on that awful day. Prepare to meet your God. It is a meeting that cannot be avoided. We can forget. At the beginning of every week, people should always look at their diary, if they keep one. But not this meeting. It will not be forgotten, for it has been fixed by the eternal God, and everybody here in this place has a time when they will have to meet with God. God knows when that will going to be. God knows the time, the date, the circumstances that's going to be. There will be a time when you and I will have to meet with God. That is indisputable. There are times when we might have a meeting, we might have a meeting arranged, and we have to cancel because of circumstances beyond our control. Something may have happened. Maybe we become ill. Maybe we can't meet. But with this meeting, there is no cancellation policy possible. For God requires and God demands this meeting. And we can postpone a meeting. We can say, can I put it off to another occasion? In this world, we can sometimes postpone it because of circumstances. But my friends, this meeting is fixed by the one who made you. Because it's not ultimately your meeting with God or my meeting with God. It's his meeting with you. It's his meeting with me. And we don't know when. We don't know when that's going to be. 10 years ago, my son John, who hopefully will be with us next weekend, was in a church in Cologne in Germany. He'd come to know the Lord Jesus there. And not long after he became a Christian, there was a young Nigerian man. And his wife was expecting their second child. And suddenly he was taken. Suddenly he died. It was that man's time to be taken. And that man was a Christian. And so he's now with God in heaven. And you see, this meeting is not a brief encounter. It's a meeting for eternity. And at that meeting, all eternal destinies will be fixed. And there will be no possibility of change on that day. Your eternal destiny, my eternal destiny, will be fixed on that day. And it will all hinge on whether God's preparation for eternal life has been received in this world. That's what it will all hinge on. It will all hinge on whether someone has received the glorious person of the Lord Jesus. And whether he has come to them and whether he has changed their lives in order that they might know what it is to live a life in the Spirit. Now in Amos's day, the great cry to the people was this, in chapter 5 and at the end of verse 4, seek me and live. Seek me and live. And that is the great cry today. Seek him. Seek the Lord Jesus. Know what it is to turn from your wrongdoing and live. Seek it with all your heart. Have you ever lost something? And you sought for it because it's so important. Perhaps you've lost your glasses. Perhaps you've lost your wallet. Well, my friend, the most important thing is to seek the Lord Jesus. Seek me, says God, and live. Seek him with all of your heart, because those who sincerely seek will ultimately find. And then for the believer, it will be a meeting that will be glorious. It will be a meeting that's amazing. There are times when we meet together, perhaps in as a fellowship of God's people, and the meeting is glorious and it's amazing because there's such a wonderful spirit of unity and love among the people of God, and you're sorry when it's all over. But there will be a glorious meeting one day when every tear will be wiped from our eyes, when every sorrow will be over for the Christian, when clothed in the perfect righteousness of the faithfulness of Christ, we are welcomed by the Father and the Son to hear the Father welcome us into heaven, and to know in all of its glorious fullness the love of the Father as much for us as the love that he has for Christ. To know in all of its fullness that we are as welcome as the Lord Jesus into heaven. We know something of the marriage supper of the Lamb. And what will it be? And on that day, to know what it is to be as holy as Christ is holy. What a glorious future the Christian has in this terrible world. For there are many people in this world who are suffering so terribly because they are the Lord's people, because they have been saved by grace. People suffering terribly in Iran and North Korea. But what will it be for them on that day? To meet with God without fear. Bold shall I stand on that great day. For who ought to my charge shall lay, says an old hymn. My hope is built on nothing less. But the question this morning is, will you be there? Will you be there? Having met with this amazing God on his terms, will you be there? When the Lord Jesus was here, he uttered some wonderful words, lovely words, and also some solemn words. He was quite fearless because he wanted people to know what it was to truly know and truly be transformed by the power of the gospel. Listen to these words of the Lord Jesus. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? This is what Jesus said. Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. You see, those who come to Christ manifest the fruit of the Spirit and manifest life in the Spirit that is for the glory of the Lord Jesus. But oh, how awful it would be on that day to hear those words, I never knew you. I never knew you. That's why those who truly take of the clothing of God, the clothing provided in the person of the Lord Jesus, there will be a changed life. New life will come. The same old body, but a new life. The old gone, the new come. A new creation in Christ. New attitudes, new behaviors, new ways. You know, sometimes we can get a picture drawn by a child, can't we? And perhaps it's a picture of you and I, and it's a funny sort of picture. But there's some faint resemblance, hopefully, in the picture. And so it is that a believer, somebody who's truly taken of the clothing of Christ, longs that the person of Christ might be imaged in their lives. Because they have Christ within. You see, when a person becomes a Christian, they have Christ within, the hope of glory. And they're able to say, whereas I was blind, now I see. Could you say that? That there's been a time in your life when you've been able to say, once I was blind, but now I see. There was a lady many years ago in the fellowship where I was, and I might have told this some years ago here. Somebody went on door-to-door visiting. They knocked on her door and they said to her simply this, "We come from South Church Tabernacle and we wonder why some of you lot aren't going to church." Well, that's not really the tactful way of doing it. But God used it. And she came to our fellowship. And I remember speaking to her at Harvest Supper, and I thought, and I say this to my absolute shame, I can't imagine you fitting in here. But she kept coming. And she kept hearing. And one day I went round to see her, dear Gladys Gray, in heaven now. And she said to me, "I don't know what's happened," she said. "What's that?" I said. "Well," she said, "I used to have a violent temper. I've got it no more." She said, "You know, when I first came, I had a Bible," she said, "I used to hide it under my coat. But now I don't mind if the world knows." "Please," she said, "tell me what's happened to me." And I said to her, "Gladys," with a smile on my face, "you have been wonderfully saved." She had come to know the Lord Jesus. And her husband had been a builder, you know, and I do believe that later in life he was saved too. He used to go around and do Bible study with her, and he used to sit in the corner puffing his own home-rolled cigarette. One day it fell out of his mouth and fell down his shirt, and he stood up quicker than anybody ever. But oh, how wonderful grace is. And she was going on a holiday and down in the West Country. One Sunday afternoon, her husband knocked on the door and he said to me, "Ray," he said, "Gladys has gone." He said, "I woke up this morning and she'd been taken. I knew where she'd gone. Have you prepared to meet with God by accepting God's preparation in Christ for your life?" Boys and girls here, young people here, do you know what it is to see the glorious preparation, the costliest preparation ever, has been made by the Lord Jesus, by the great God of heaven? What priceless clothing. The faithfulness of Christ. Everything he did was wonderfully available. Perfect life is wonderfully available to all who would trust. His sacrificial death, his shed blood, cleanses from all sin. Oh, that you might go wonderfully free. That you might know what it is to meet with God, not because of what you've done, but because of what Christ has done. Because a glorious price has been paid, a costly price for your salvation. Let us pray. Our glorious God, we thank you this morning that there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. We thank you, O God, for this day, which is a gospel day, where you have provided the way by which men and women and boys and girls can meet with you in the person of your Son. How glorious it is. It's all been done. And Lord, we pray for those here who've never come to see that, who perhaps listened but never tasted of the meal. We pray indeed, O Lord, that even today that you may grant them grace, grant them repentance and faith in the glorious person of the Lord Jesus, in whose name we ask this. Amen. Now we're going to sing as we close this morning, "The Price is Paid."